from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Oh, it's Fresh Fridays. That's it. We are starting the 10 o'clock hour and the rest of the show, Ursula. I'm ready. I took about 100 sips of some coffee, and I figure, I was like, that's the problem today. I ain't had enough coffee. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning. Yeah, between your lack of coffee, me falling asleep with my phone in my hand trying to answer listeners' questions, and Nick not doing the Fresh Friday music, we were off to a bit of a downer of a 9 o'clock hour. So we got to change it up.
I want to raise your spirits with the yes. Usher, babe, man.
Yes.
All right. I'm looking forward to Michael Medved coming onto the show. I know this is something we do every Friday, but this is the first visit from the man himself here in 2022. So, Ursula, it is time for the top three things that everybody needs to know at 10.
Number one.
And I'm just going to go right to saying good morning to Michael Medved. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, good morning, Ursula. I'm glad you're awake.
I know. Oh, yeah, exactly, right? Well, it is Friday, so that's what I told myself, because I'm not a coffee drinker. But we have decided I'm just going to do an audible right now because I was going to ask you something, and I'm going to be honest, it was related to COVID, and I'm not, nope, not this hour. So we're going to start with some breaking news that I just saw, that President Biden is going to be delivering his first State of the Union address on March 1st, which is actually going to be the latest that any president has delivered a State of the Union address. And of course, this is because it's normally done in January or sometimes in February, but apparently a busy legislative calendar, this COVID spike, and et cetera, et cetera. So State of the Union, and let's try to start with the positives, Michael, because we're struggling. What is positive in our State of the Union right now?
What is positive in our State of the Union? I think we are through.
Hey, Michael. What's not positive is your underwater phone line. You sound like you are in a tunnel.
Really? Well, that's
better. There
you go. Okay.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad. No, it's your basic mobile phone line. So, and I hope it's okay. We got through the anniversary. I was saying yesterday, happy anniversary, people. Anniversary of the January 6th riot in the Capitol. We got through it, I think, relatively okay. It looked as if it were going to be basically dueling speeches with President Biden blaming President Trump and President Trump somehow blaming President Biden. But Trump made the right decision not to give a big speech on January 6th and to claim that he was proud of the demonstrators. He sent out a whole bunch of messages not on Twitter, because that's not allowed, but statements from his Save America site. And some of that was pretty weird, but I think one of the reasons that they're hoping to postpone the State of the Union is to get a little bit something done, maybe a chance for some more legislative victories for the president, and so that when he comes up there, he doesn't look as if he's being battered and clobbered, and it's a more optimistic kind of event that can build back better in terms of Biden's chances.
Hey, Michael, sometimes when you see former President Trump in all of these rallies and these get-togethers, sometimes you kind of feel like this is a lot about just raising and keeping money from people. Like, I sometimes feel that. I want to know if that is a shared thing that's thought about, where you just see, like, what is the purpose and what is the point of what you're doing? And sometimes I just feel like it's just money grab the entire time.
Well, I think a lot of people look at that and see the same thing. I do. He's raised over $100 million for campaigning during this off-year campaign, the midterm campaign that's coming up. It's going to be very important. He's endorsed over 100 different primary candidates, many of them challenging sitting Republicans. he desperately wants the attention to be on him. And I think that's why he didn't, he knew he couldn't really have that on January 6th. So he's going to give his response January 6th. He has a big rally scheduled in Phoenix coming up. And remember, he's also launching this big new venture, which looks like it could be the biggest business success Trump has ever had, which is his own social media site. I mean, I don't know if you'll be able to go to to websites say .Trump on it, but it's going to be there's going to be a lot of that, and sure, a lot of it has to do with making money for his assumed purported presidential drive in 2024.
Well, speaking of that presidential drive in 2024 and also what's going to happen this year with the midterm elections, if the former president is sucking up a lot of the GOP energy and attention in the spotlight, that doesn't allow for others to emerge as potential. If it's not going to be Trump, if in fact it turns out that he decides he won't run, but he's been collecting all this money, I know you had mentioned Tim Scott as someone possible, but where are the other folks? Florida's governor has kind of disappeared a little bit. Where are the other folks who could be potential contenders?
Well, part of what's going on with Governor DeSantis is he has a wife who's very sick.
Right. She's being treated for cancer.
And that has been a handicap for him in sort of building a campaign. And also, he turns out not to have been such a smashing success in battling COVID-19 and battling the Omicron virus. I mean, it's a variant. So, look, I think that a large part of Trump's viability is going to be determined by these primary fights that he's engaging in. It's incredibly stupid. He I think, is going to ruin his chances of making any kind of a comeback at all by focusing on the election of 2020 and the charge of the stolen election. I think the American people are tired of that. And you could see that in some of the reaction to some of his statements yesterday. It all comes back to, he says he will never accept that he lost. He won, he won, he won. And the question really is, what does that mean? Does that mean we keep hearing about this for another 3 years? And he claims he wants to reoccupy the presidency, but not just by getting reelected in 2024. I think that the more that he talks about allegations of election fraud in 2020, the less chance he has of being the nominee or of winning the election.
Number two.
Oh, Ursula, we on the same page, my friend. That's exactly what I was going to ask Michael. Michael, earlier in the 9 o'clock hour, both Ursula and I talked about Governor Inslee and how that he wants to make it a crime for politicians and candidates to lie about election results. Your thoughts?
I don't think that's going to work. I mean, I think that's going to be...
Uh-oh. Oh, right when he was going to make his point.
Where'd you move to, Michael?
It's this fresh Friday. It's this foul fresh Friday. Okay, we're going to wait till he gets back. Michael, you still there?
Okay. Yes, I'm right here.
Oh, there we go.
There
okay.
He is.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
What do you got, Michael?
Yeah, no, I think that's a ridiculous idea. Look, first of all, politicians lie. That's what they do. And one of the things that you're granted as a politician, particularly if you're elected office holder, it's much harder to pin a libel charge on you, even if you're hurting somebody else. And if somebody is lying about his prospects of winning an election or if he's actually winning the election, courts are not meant to decide who wins elections. That's really why we have set up a position like Secretary of State. I think, by the way, it's a shame that Kim Wyman left the Secretary of State job because, look, one of the things that's important is I don't think anybody really wants Washington to be a one-party state, and she was the last surviving Republican office holder statewide. And it's kind of sad to see her go.
Yeah, not only that, though, Michael, I just want to say she was really good at what she did. So it's really sad to see her go.
And everybody trusted her.
Yes. Well, not everybody, but they should have.
Yes. And again, she's a great public servant and all that. But the idea, is Inslee serious about this? Is he going to actually introduce or have legislation introduced about making it a crime for politicians to lie about election results?
He's looking for lawmakers to sponsor it.
Hey, Michael, you know what? This is what I simply said about it. I understand what Governor Jay Inslee, I understand where he's coming from. I understand his frustration because I share, and so many of us share his frustrations as what we are seeing with people continuing to do this. But the hard part is how do you corner somebody in and define how someone lied? I don't think this is going to be easy to pinpoint when someone does it. So I think it's going to be impossible to do this.
It's going to end up with a whole lot of waste of time in court and waste of government money.
Yeah.
And look, the real punishment here is not going to be facing court cases. It's going to be destroying politicians' careers. I don't think it's helped Lauren Culp to make his claims that he actually won the election. I mean, has he conceded yet? I don't think he has.
He's running for another office. Against someone who actually spoke
Congress.
Up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Somebody will give him a platform to speak on. Yeah.
Number three.
Okay, I want to go into this because we are talking about former President Trump, but I want to talk about current President Biden. And we get many text messages, including this one that just came in from 425, who said, who cares what lies President Biden will spew in the address to the nation? He's the worst sitting president in American history. I hear that phrase used a lot, and I want to get your take. As a Republican, do you think that President Biden is the worst sitting president in American history? And why, if you do, or why if you don't?
Absolutely not. Look, I have resisted this idea of designating sitting presidents as the worst in history. Do you remember people used to say that about George W. Bush?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't true. He was a decent, I think he will be remembered positively as a very successful president. Mm. I know that's not popular right now, but I believe that about President Bush. People said that about President Clinton. People said that about President Obama, and they said it a lot, and it wasn't true.
How about that
Obama
birth certificate?
Obama was a successful president.
How about that birth certificate?
I beg pardon?
How about that birth certificate?
Oh, gee.
President Obama. How about that?
That's right. How about the videotape of his step grandmother saying he was born in Kenya? That was mistranslated. That was a deliberate fraud. The whole thing is, in any event, this entire tendency that we have to run presidents down. Look, I think that Biden has had a rough first year. He has had a rough first year, but he has won some victories, and some of the victories he's going to point back to as a part of a successful record. One of the victories, of course, the big one was that infrastructure bill. And if he keeps his eye on the prize, I think the Republicans are way premature in the certainty that we are going to actually win the Congress of the United States. Biden is obviously trying to regroup, and he's president.
Michael, because it is a fresh Friday and we want to end on a positive note, what is it that you do to stay calm? Because in the last hour, we heard from someone who was struggling but said, you know what, I'm still happy and I choose to be happy, and it's because I'm still alive. And he was urging everyone to just stay calm. Want to end on a positive note.
There was a very good piece by Jonathan Last, which I tried to cover up yesterday. And he said, look, there are five things you have to be sure of coming up to 2022. And the fifth thing is there's going to be good news to celebrate. There are going to be good things. You're going to still have Sundays out with the kids. You're going to be able to get together with friends. And people do that. And even if you wear masks, you are going to be able to celebrate the liberty we have, the ability we have every Friday and the rest of the time to talk about politics openly. America's still the best place in the world to live. And people believe that, and everybody wants to come here. And maybe it would be useful every once in a while if our politicians reminded us of that.
I love it. Michael, from the Michael Medved Show, also a presidential historian. I don't say that enough. And I think it's great to have your perspective on the different presidents we've had. And I'm going to say it again. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I love that you call it as it is, not based on putting party first, but just based on decency. And
well, again, that was, if anything, that was a message of the anniversary we celebrated yesterday. Maybe we can look forward to celebrating some anniversaries of really positive events for our country. I'm hoping for that for 2022.
I love it. Thank you so much, Michael, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
What a great pleasure. Welcome back, and we should all see a little bit less inclement weather and some sunshine coming up.
Yes.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you so much, G. Welcome back.
All right. You know, he just helped out the show, didn't he?
Yes.
He did.
Between Michael and that Fresh Friday music, I'm in a much better mood. Thank you.
And then a little Sade going on right there.
you know that.
I tell you what, you Gen Zers, you guys are all right. You know your stuff.
Well,
you
know, I don't know about that sweeping statement, but I think I have a good taste. You know.
You do.
Hey, coming up next, Mike Salk. Well, you know he comes in to talk Seahawks, but there's no telling where the conversation goes. If you guys understand, Mike Salk from the Mike Salk Show, he's going to join us next. It's the G and Ursa Show.
Another great choice.
Man, Nick, what?
It is 10:34. You are listening to the G and Ursula Show. And with all the news breaking all over the place, we cannot forget that we do have a Seahawks game. And the big question is this Russell Wilson's last game as a Seahawk? Joining us right now, 710 ESPN Seattle's morning news host, sports talk host Mike Salk.
You guys have so many interesting things. I'm looking through your rundown today.
Ton.
I want to talk about all the other things. I don't want to talk about the Seahawks. Let's talk about hospitals. Let's talk about flooding and bare shelves and all that sounds like so much fun.
Sports isn't our regular.
I know.
I was all excited. I thought we were going to talk about
Mike,
this.
Mike, we need to. Oh. We're on a roll right now. We're on a positive roll.
Who is?
So, yeah, we are. Our
Who's
show.
We? Oh, your
our show.
Show. Okay,
our show.
Got it.
Okay, yeah, because 9 o'clock.
I thought
dark.
You meant the Seahawks. Like they're not on a roll. They won one game.
Okay, you party.
But they won. But whoa. They're one and oh player. 1-0 in 2022.
That's true. Unfortunately, the season's still the 2021 season.
So a listener asked, "Does Russell Wilson say anything when he talks?" Because I know that he was talking. So what did we learn?
Never. No, Russell speaks in platitudes. He speaks in cliches. He didn't say anything. You
know, but what about his future? What did he say? What cliche?
He's not
going
to say anything about his future. You have to listen to what Russell's agent tells other members of the media to know what Russell's future thing. What Russell thinks about his future, not what he thinks about future. That's a totally different conversation. What he thinks about his own future. You got to go through Colin Cowherd and a couple other national people that Mark Rogers, his agent, talks to. And then you know what Russell Wilson's thinking.
So what's his agent saying?
Well, his agent's been saying the Pete's at fault for everything in the world, probably for the flooding and the COVID and everything else you guys are talking about on your show. I think I-5 is closed because of Pete Carroll. I heard that from Colin Cowherd through Mark. Well, obviously, Emperor Inslee is a part of that, too. Right. No, I mean, you have to use your powers of deduction to know who's saying who to what.
Yes.
At the end of the day, Jody Allen's going to first make a decision on Pete Carroll. And then Russell Wilson will have to decide once Pete Carroll is brought back. I agree with G that that's the most likely scenario, though I think anything is possible in the next few days, whether or not Russ wants to demand a trade. And even if he does, they don't have to agree to it. They can say, sorry, man, we own your rights for the next couple of years. You're here. Get used to it.
Can we just back up for a second? Because Colleen O'Brien asked me a great question this morning, and it kind of stumped me a little bit. So maybe you can help me out with
this. That's not a surprise.
It seems very simple that Pete and Russ will be back here. Why is there so much talk? If there's so much talk about this and the fact that Pete says he's going to be here, wants to be here, and Russ wants to be here.
I think
why
I can
is there so
that.
Much talk? Okay, go ahead.
Because I think Russell's much of the Pete talk, I think, stems from Russell and his agent. They've been putting that out there. I think it was. I've been saying this on my show, so I'm not just trying to make a news reference. Like, this Russell thing to me feels a little bit like a failed coup. Like, Russ was trying to make a change at, you know, with the coach. And so he started a campaign. It began last year in the offseason. He listed the four teams that he'd be willing to go to. And it continued throughout this year, mostly through his agent and him talking to the media and trying to get the idea that Pete Carroll wouldn't be back next year to stick because everything, as we said, is Pete's fault. And when that didn't work, and you and I think agree on this, that that's not going to work. I think Jody Allen will bring back Pete Carroll, who is under contract at $14 million a year for the next 4 years. I don't think she's going to fire him and eat, what is that, 50-something million dollars. I don't see that happening, $56 million. So at that point, it's a matter of how do you handle somebody after their failed coup? I think, G, and I think you would agree with this, that no one is better equipped to be conciliatory and to allow you back in than Pete Carroll. He's the father who lets his kid go make a ton of mistakes and says, you're still welcome home at night. I'm not throwing you out of the house. Even though you said you hate me, even though you said I'm a mean father, even though I know that sometimes it just needs love. And so come on in. Your bed is still made and we'll find a way to work together. But if Russ refuses, or Pete and John believe that Russ just can't run the style that they want, that's where I think you start talking about, could there be some sort of a change?
How do the players feel? Are you getting any rumblings about how the players...
I don't know that I'm the right person to ask that question to. I don't know how the players feel. I mean, I obviously, the previous generation of players had some issues with especially Russ, and we heard about them through the media. They certainly didn't make it much of a secret that they had issues with Russell Wilson, but I think they also knew how talented he was. Mm-hmm. And so it's not that easy to find that kind of talent in the NFL. There aren't like elite franchise quarterbacks just hanging out on every street corner waiting to come play for you.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Those coaches don't exist either. There aren't exactly guys who set the culture and build what Pete has done. Those guys aren't hanging out on every street corner either. So they're in a bit of a bind right now, and I think that's why it's such an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it is. Okay, can I ask about DK Metcalf, who at one point in time last year was my favorite player, but
he's not anymore?
Wait, he's not anymore?
What happened?
He's sulking too much.
God, you're fickle.
He was sulking so much, but it sounds like he wants to stay.
Sulking. What a
sulking.
Name.
Sulking.
Sulk.
No, very witty.
It's the first time I heard that one, G. Thanks for bringing me back to fifth grade.
Wow. I feel like I am in fifth grade. Okay.
Well, that's because you're so fickle. You keep changing from one person to the next.
Hey, you know what?
Who's your favorite now?
Tyler Lockett.
Oh, I love Tyler Lockett. I love Tyler Lockett, and I've always loved Doug Baldwin. He's an ex-player, but he'll always be a fave.
He loves me too. Who's your favorite player on this team?
Tyler Lockett.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. I love Tyler Lockett. He is the one thing about
I'm telling
Tyler,
Bobby. You said that.
Oh, I love Bobby Wagner.
Tyler,
that should be the other one.
Tyler is exactly the same as when I first met him that day when he was a rookie.
You know, we're talking about Bobby Wagner. This may end up being Bobby Wagner's last game. He may not even get to play in this game because he's been injured.
Oh.
I think you could make a case that it'd be the right thing to do for them to move on from Bobby Wagner after this season due to the salary, kind of where he's at in his career.
Soundbite.
Nothing should take away what Bobby Wagner has done for the Seahawks on the field or this community off the field. I love the way he shines his spotlight on businesses and organizations. I think that is one of the coolest things any player has come up with in the NFL to do with his press conferences. And I give him all of the, football's on one side and then kind of personal, et cetera, on the other. I think the world of Bobby Wagner.
So can I get 20 minutes on your show every Friday?
No. 15. That's all we got. 15:30 is too much.
But DK
Eric the Kid even gave me a whole like way to get rid of you, G.
Oh my goodness!
No, what? Eric the Kid.
Who's Eric the Kid?
Did Eric the Kid hear me talking about him today?
He's a 10-year-old kid who keeps calling my show. He's like a better sports radio host than anyone else on our station, including me.
And tell the reason why he's not in school. Tell that reason.
He's got COVID. But he's fine. He's asymptomatic.
No, he's fine.
You know what?
No, he's fine.
A lot of people are.
Everyone's got COVID.
Thankfully,
no one's
happen.
Dying from it.
Hey,
we're not many people.
Yeah, well,
as long as
you don't have Salk. If you have Salk, then you're in trouble.
What do you mean?
If you have Salk?
What's Salk?
Salk vaccine? You can't
Like
get,
the most famous vaccine of all time?
You can't get rid of Salk.
Yeah, well, the Salk vaccine, a number one when it comes to vaccines.
The Salk is here to stay.
Thank you, Mike.
You guys have to move on. Salk. I want to stay. Yeah. Can I stay? Like G wants to stay? Let's talk about something better. See you guys.
You can hear him 6 to 10 every day or here on Fridays. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
He's gone now, right? I can say what I
want
to
say.
Oh, I love that dude, man.
I know you guys. You guys are hilarious.
I got to go. I got to go listen to Building a Mystery. Isn't that the name of G's new podcast? That's a Sarah McLachlan song, right?
I'm
building a legacy.
Coming up next, Scenarios, G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we will bring on a pediatrician onto the show and to talk about COVID and COVID when it comes to children. She will be joining us next. That happens at 11 o'clock. But right now, Ursula, let's get to scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
I have absolutely no problem breaking up with a regular relationship. That's pretty easy. But how do you break up with a friend? Seriously. I've been friends with this person since fifth grade, almost 20 years. We shared everything and kind of grew up together. Our families became friends because we were so close. But she got married a year ago and is now pregnant. And all she does is talk about herself. She goes on and on about her pregnancy, her husband, her job, how hard it is to balance things, and about COVID. It's driving me nuts. It's not like she's talking about big issues. It's minor details and things that are only interesting to her. She's become really self-absorbed, and I can't take it anymore. So what can I do? I can't bring myself to talk to her about it, and it would be hard to just make up excuses for not doing things with her. So I'm just thinking about telling her that we've drifted apart, have very different lives, and I need to spend more time with my other friends I have more in common with. What do you think? 888-973 is the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you're up the bat first.
So this is a friendship that has stretched how many years?
20 years.
And they've been close for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be that good of a friendship if you can't tell your friend the truth. And the truth is, I feel like so much of our conversation is centered on you and things about you and things that are trivial. And right now I got a lot going on, and I don't want to, you know, however it is that you want to bring it up, you need to bring it up. Are you going to give up a 20-year friendship? I think there's something else. It's like maybe you just don't like this person that much. People do grow apart. You know, I have one of my dearest friends I've known. We've had her on the show. She's a psychotherapist, Gigi. I haven't seen her enough. I haven't seen her in a long time. But every time we get together, and I've known her since we were 13, every time we get together, it's like we haven't skipped time. You know, that there hasn't been any time gaps. Even if there were something that, you know, would bother me, I wouldn't want to give up on a friendship, I guess. And it's not to say that I haven't had issues with friends, but you want to bring it up and be honest so that there's a chance for reparation.
Right. Well, this is a tough one for me. And this is where I'm going to lean on you and lean on our listeners for answers, because I'm going through the same exact thing when someone is just like...
You feel like you're dealing with a narcissist.
Yeah. And it's like I'm listening to it and I'm like, I don't care. And so I find myself feeling bad and guilty for thinking like, dude, I don't care about what you're talking about. Like, this is taking up my time. Like, this
what would you do if you say, you know what, I've got so much on my plate right now, my stress level is so high.
Because I already am being accused of that with some people and in my family, and they're like, oh, geez, change. He's not the same anymore, all those things.
Yeah, people do change, by the way.
Well, but the truth is, I am busy. But I mean, everybody's busy, right? I think being busy is relative. I think all of us are busy in our own way. But I don't have the answer. I got to tell you, I don't know what to do. Some people are like,
honesty is always the best answer. Honesty.
What do you say?
You know what's not the answer? I'll tell you what's not the answer.
What's that?
Ghosting people. Just
253 said ghoster.
Oh man.
Nick, maybe
sin over there.
No.
Maybe Nick's gonna help us.
Yes,
I would say after 20 years, just talk to her and just be like, "Hey, like, can you stop talking about yourself all the time? Like, maybe let somebody ask you questions about yourself, and then maybe you can ask questions about others, and they'll be more kind to you and not as annoyed about how much you're being a quote unquote narcissist." So.
Yeah, I mean, as one of our favorite listeners, retired Puyallup police officer Rob, says, I can't bring myself to talk to her about it. That's the quote. That's the real problem. The friendship isn't as strong as they think it is.
Rob, first of all, love you, man. Appreciate you always. But it's hard.
Gee,
what?
You've got it. You're strong. You can do it.
Okay.
We believe in you.
Hey, coming up next, we are going to bring on a pediatrician to talk about what the impact of COVID in children is. We'll do that next. Gene Ursula.